Then, Heavenly Father, Your Word has been given to us through the Bible. You have spoken unto us through these words, and You have told us what it is You expect of us, and You have given us the history of You, this creation of this world, and everything that's in it. And, Father, all we need to do is just but follow Your rules, Your guidelines, and look to You for all of our needs. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have blessed us to be able to be here this morning. Thank You that You have filled our stomachs with food, and I pray and thank You, O Heavenly Father, that we might be able to fill the congregation with words of wisdom. And I thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all that You do for us. I thank You for the congregation here this morning. I thank You for those brothers who are in leadership capacity in the congregation. I pray for them and their families as they strive to do the work of the Lord and teach the church how we must do in order to survive and move ahead in these times, O Lord. Father, I pray for the sick and the shut in our midst. I pray for those who are sick here and those who are sick away from the church house. I pray for those who are in the hospital. And we pray for those, O Heavenly Father, who still may be on their way to get here this morning. Praying for those who are traveling this holiday period, because the highways and byways are dangerous places on the holidays. But we're just praying, O Lord, that if they have gone on trips, that You would bring them back safely, get them to their destination safely, and then bring them back once again. Father, we pray this morning for those who are in need this morning, those who are in need of food, shelter, or clothing, O Lord. We just pray that You would give unto them the things that are necessary that they may be sustained. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member in the congregation. We pray for those who are raising their children, and we pray for those who are taking care of the sick and the shut in. We pray, O Father, for strength to carry on when it doesn't seem like we can go any further. Give us the strength we need to carry on. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those people who surround us in our times of need. Father, we pray a blessing upon those people. And we pray a blessing, Father, especially for our young folk once again, O Lord. We just pray that if it be Your will, that You would give the parents who are raising our young people, give them the strength that they need to raise our children. And give them Your word, which You have already done, but give them a recollection of Your word, that they may start from the baseline of God and move ahead that way. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are sitting here this morning. And we thank You, Father, that there are some who are unable to be with us this morning. And we're praying for them. But most of all, Heavenly Father, be with the churches of Christ everywhere, especially those who are holding up the bloodstained banner and trying to do Your will. We thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who because He went up on the cross, we can come to the cross. Thank You, O Lord, for everything that You have done for us. And we're praying this morning, O Heavenly Father, that the things that we have done thus far would be found favorable and acceptable in Thy sight. And the things that we do from this point on may also be acceptable, found acceptable in Thy sight. These and all other blessings, O Lord, we're asking in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, from those two scriptures, Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, where the Bible says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There is nothing better this morning than having a friend, someone to be there for you in your times of need or in your times of trouble and times like these. Consider the definition of the word friend, if you will. It's a person with whom one has a friendly communications with. Or a friend can be a mother, a father, or other family members. A friend can also be someone attached by affection to another. Jesus is the kind of friend who will be there for all times, through all times, and in all times, even throughout all eternity. And I'm convinced this morning that's part of the problem that's going on with our young folk today. Number one, they don't know Jesus. Number two, they don't have friends. They have acquaintances and people they hang around with, but they don't have friends. If you have a friend is someone who cares. Now, the Bible gives us a close look into what a friend is. In that book of Proverbs in chapter 24, once again, it says that a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, this text tells us how we must nurture friendship in order that it may grow. We must show ourselves friendly. That's the first thing we must do. We must not be quarrelsome toward them. We must love them. We must be willing to let them know. And I'll tell you, I've had it happen to me personally. What good is it that you tell me that you love me and wait for the first bus and then throw me under it? How many times has someone told you how much they care about you and how much they think of you and then just wait to come up behind you with a short knife and stab you in the back? But we must learn that we must love them and be willing to let them know that we love them. Jesus is that kind of friend. He demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet sinners, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Some so-called friends like to offer too much lip service, but are not willing to show us their love. In Proverbs chapter 17, in the verses number 17, the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In other words, church, you must love somebody all the time, not just love them because they are friendly with you. Sometimes, you know, those of you that are married, you know how it is. You love someone as long as things are going right, and as soon as things start to go wrong, you fall out of love. Well, that's not love in the first place. That's not love in the first place. When you love someone, that means you will stick by them. That means you will stick with them. That means you will be there in their times of need. Some of our friends, or those that we call friends, they don't want to be there in your times of need. You know, I've seen it happen too many times before where someone will tell you that I'm your friend till the end. But the end comes very soon with a lot of friends. The end comes far too soon. Jesus sticks to us closer than a brother. When troubles come along, when troubles come our way, we don't need someone to say, well, I'm gone now. We don't need someone who tells us they care. We need someone who stands beside us when the battle gets at its hottest. Even our brothers may desert us. Even those who become close to us may desert us. But the text says He will stick closer than a brother. That means that during the eye of the storm, when that eye of the storm is over our head, we need someone who will stay close. Now, I know someone in church. We all know someone like that. We know someone, and I want you to watch this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the full of the Lord is against them that do evil. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, I should say. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And when you go over with me, if you will, I'll give you a moment to get there, but go over with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 in the verses number 4 and number 5. Look what the Bible says in Luke 15, verse 4 and verse number 5. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave them 99 and in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth up on his shoulders rejoicing. That's the kind of friend you need. Someone who will go after you when you get lost in a whirl in a sea of trouble. Someone who will be there to stick with you when everybody else is gone. When everybody is explaining why you shouldn't go after me. Somebody else is, the friend is looking for me. And I'll tell you something, church. When you need a friend, there's nothing like having one. And I know that some of us, as we grow older, we consider not so much friendship anymore, but we consider loyalties. We consider those who will stick with us through thick and thin. We consider those who will be there when I need them. What good is having a friend if you can't count on them? In other words, when you care for someone, you'll go your farthest for that person. When you love someone, you'll go all the way for that person. When you love someone, nothing should get in your way of doing what's the right thing to do for that person. And too many of our young folk today, they'd rather settle their disagreements with a gun and a knife rather than settle it through going to the Bible. But church, I gotta say, sometimes we as Christians, we get just as bad as some of our young folk. We like to settle things in the court of public opinion sometimes. We like to settle things by grabbing one another, not physically around the throat, but you squeeze all of the life out of them. You squeeze everything that they have in them trying to prove your point while their point goes unseen and unheard. That's what our young people do, but they do it in a physical manner. They don't know Jesus, and their parents, many of them, have not taught them to know Jesus. And if you don't have what the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 24, once again, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. How can I have a friend if I'm not friendly? How can I show myself friendly when I don't have any friends to show myself friendly to? And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I like that part. Because a brother will go all out. A brother will put you in his car and drive you from one end of the country to another one. But the friend that will stick closer than a brother is Jesus, because he made the car that your brother is going to drive you in. And then he made the materials, I should say, that made the car that your brother is going to drive you in. He'll stick much closer, but the Bible simply says he'll stick closer than a brother. But I know that he'll stick much closer because he got you up this morning. A friend is one who will listen. A friend who sticks closer than a brother will listen to my concern. And that's the problem with some of us today. They hear you talking, but they ain't listening to what you're saying. They hear you talking, but they're not hearing what you really are trying to tell them. Yet in the text, if one is going to be our brother, he ought to be willing to listen when we speak. Jesus is always open to my conversation. In Philippians chapter 4, in the verses around verse number 5 and verse number 6, the verse number 5 that says that the Lord is at hand. But then he allows us to talk to him through prayer. In Philippians 4 and 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And I want you to note that once again. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now what does this tell us? This tells us that whatever the situation that you may have going on in your life, whatever you have going on in your mind, you don't need to stand around or sit around and worry about it, for there is a listening ear. And you don't have to be careful or anxious, in other words, about anything. You don't have to get yourself all worked up. He says, don't let nothing, be careful for nothing, rather. Don't let anything lead you to not trust in the Lord. Then the writer says, in everything. In other words, don't just speak to God when it's bedtime or when it's dinner time. And some of us, we have a habit of speaking only at dinner time to the Lord or when something is wrong. But don't be afraid to reach out and speak to the Lord at other times. Let Him hear from you during those times, of course, but also let Him hear from you during the dreaded emergencies that we all get, or when you're out of sorts, distressed, and our spirits are burdened down. Somebody said, well, preacher, my spirits don't get too burdened down. If you're human, they do. If you're human, you get burdened down with the burdens of this life. But Jesus is a friend who will have our backs. He will listen to us anytime and anywhere. When I'm in heavy times, what can talking to Jesus do for me? Well, watch the fourth chapter of Philippians again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through just will keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ or through Christ Jesus. Anybody in this world can understand the meaning of a friend. You understand that that friend is the one you think you can count on. You understand that a friend is the one you ought to be able to count on. You understand that a friend is supposed to be there when you need a friend. But sometimes, it just happens sometimes that the friend disappears in your hours of need. But Jesus is not like that. He is closer than a brother. And then in 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says you can talk to Jesus because He cares for you. If I can talk to Jesus because He cares for me, why can't I put everything that's in my mind or in my heart upon Jesus if He cares for me? See, if I start talking to you, you're going to get all fed up and I'm going to see that you are not interested in my conversation anymore. You might not tell me to shut up, but you'll tell me in so many other ways because you'll keep interrupting my conversation to you. You'll keep saying to me things like, hey, you want to go such and such place? No, I'm not finished talking to you yet. But the Bible says that you can talk to Jesus because He cares for you. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Jesus is a friend that can do what no other friend can. Many of our earthly friends will desert us in our times of need. But Jesus is a friend who is in the saving business and the cleansing business and the forgiving business. According to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, if we, note this, this tells me that we must be in interaction with Jesus. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Some of us only want to talk to Him when we can see something in it for us, or something in it for me, if you will. If there's something in it for me, then I'll talk to Him. But in this particular verse, we see two things that Jesus can do for us. He can forgive us our sins, and He can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He only asks us to do one thing, and that is to confess our sin. If we say we have no sin, then we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Too many of us are under a misconception that I'm as good as it gets. There's no one better than me. I'm the best one in the church house. As a matter of fact, I'm the only straight one in the church house. Everybody else is wrong except me. And I know I'm all right with the Lord because everything I do is right. I don't do any wrong. But the Bible says that if you say you haven't sinned, you make Him out a liar. So many of us are going to have problems when we come face to face in the judgment. Some because we haven't obeyed the gospel. Some because we have not been found faithful. And some because we haven't told anyone else about Christ. And then there's still some because we have not lived up to the Word of God. Some of us, and not all of us, some of us expect God to give, but we haven't given to Him. In Luke chapter 6, go over with me again into Luke chapter 6, if you will. Over with Luke chapter 6, and the verse is number 38. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I'm just going to say one thing about that because that's from a different lesson I'll teach on another time. But I just want to say one thing. If you ain't giving God the way you ought to be giving God, you ought to start giving just the way you should. I'm not going to say too much about it because, like I said, that's another lesson. But the board is not looking that well these days. The board is not looking that well these days, and we need to reach a little bit further in our pocket. I got my light bill the other day, and mine was higher. I think the church probably got its light bill, and it was higher also. Brother Jackson is nodding his head, so I guess that's right. And when you came in here in those 90-degree days, you were looking for some cool air, weren't you? And we had to turn the air conditioning on. Just like you had to run it at your house. But you know, when I used to go to work when I was a young man, I didn't have air conditioning in my house. So I was glad to go to work because I could get cool on that dime. But you see, when we're in church here, we all got to support the church. And we've got to give back to the Lord. And I know what some of us say. Some of us all always say the same thing. I gave the best that I could. Well, if you did, you don't have anything to worry about. You did what you were supposed to. But just remember the last part of that verse. It says, the same measure that you give, it shall be measured to you again. So if you gave a little, or if you give a little, you're going to get back a little. If you're not giving as you have prospered, don't expect to receive any more than you have given, in other words. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. If our giving was the admission to heaven, some of us would be short and unable to get in the gate. The gates would be locked. The gate would be locked. But thank God we serve a just God. Thank God He is a friend like no other. Now, I've got a short message this morning and I'm bringing it to a close. Thank God for a friend who cares. Thank God He has a place just over in the glory land. Thank God when this old earthly life is finished, we have a building of God not made with hand but eternal into heaven. Thank God that we may stand, that He may teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Thank God that He is a friend when nobody else can be a friend. Thank God that He's the kind of friend that you want on your side. Thank God that He's offering us safety in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We can come to Him. Thank God. Thank God that the time we shall get, whether it be 70+10, or whether we get 80, or whether we get much less. Thank God for the days that He has given us, and thank Him for the days that we got coming ahead. And you don't know how many days you got coming ahead, but thank Him for the days that you hope you have coming in front of you. Thank God for the days that you had that have passed you by. Because some of us, we need to look back on some of those days because they wasn't pretty. Thank God that we have a friend that has kept us while we have been out gallivanting and enjoying ourselves. Thank God for all that He do for us. What a friend we have in the one who stretched out His arms on Calvary, cried out with a loud voice, and died that we might live. He's a friend to us. He's a friend that cares for us. Thank God this morning. Thank God this morning, for the Bible says that He will stick closer than a brother. Thank God this morning for a friend like Jesus. Thank God this morning that I can reach out and call upon Jesus anytime and any place, no matter where I'm at. And some of us don't know how to call Jesus because we put ourselves in places where we shouldn't be at. And you can't call Him when you're not in the right or and expect Him to answer. At least you can call Him. But you can't just live your life raggedy and expect God to clean it up for you. You've got to do something on your own. Didn't the Bible say that we have to come to Him first of all? We have to come to Him. And then, as a matter of fact, the step says that we must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of our sins, and confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and then go down in the watery grave of baptism. So first of all, we must come to Him. And I know folk, and you know them too, some of them are in our family. They think that any old place that they go to will do to call upon God. When the Bible clearly states where we need to be. The Lord went up on the cross. Somebody pierced Him in His side and out came blood and water. For the purchase price of what? His church. So what a friend we have in Jesus, one who we can cast all of our cares upon because Jesus is there for us. And Jesus never sleeps. I like that about Him. He's always there. And how many times, I don't know about you, but how many times have I awakened myself in the middle of the night with a problem that I never knew existed until I wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I got big time problems. I need somebody to talk to then. And if I call you up, first thing you're going to say, do you know what time it is? And then you're not going to want to, can you call me back in the morning? Well, it is morning right now. It's just not daylight. Well, man, I'm so sleepy. Can I talk to you later? But Jesus is not going to tell me that. He's not going to tell me, can you talk to me later? He might not answer you right when you talk to him, but he will at some point in your life give you an answer. But you've got to be sharp enough and open enough to accept whatever his answer is, and you've got to be willing to seek out his answer. Some of us like to think that God is going to knock on the door and give you an answer. He doesn't work that way. But you've got to be smart enough. Do you remember when I use this example frequently? Do you remember when the church folk were praying for Peter to get out of jail, and Peter was where? Standing where? Outside the gate, wasn't he? See, sometimes your prayers are answered when you're still in the midst of praying. See, God sees the point that you're going to ask him about before you can get to that point. God sees the answer to that point before you can even complete your asking of that point. So sometimes we've just got to be able to understand that the answer is sometimes closer than we think. All we got to do is look for it. But any time a friend that will stick closer to you than a brother, I like that. You see, I never had a brother. Now, if you've been fortunate enough and blessed enough to have a brother, you know how wonderful it is to have a brother, especially if you get along. And I know some brothers don't get along, but that's okay. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the brother that you have that you get along with. I'm talking about the brother that you can sit down and say, hey, bro, I got this problem. And bro will listen to you. Well, see, Jesus is even closer than that. Because Jesus can say to you, not only will I listen to you, but I'll answer it and I'll give you what you're asking for. Now, don't ask him for anything crazy. Don't ask him for anything. Jesus doesn't make automobiles. He provides material for automobiles to be made. He makes that. But don't ask him to give you this big car that you want. Now, you can ask the Lord, if it be his will, provide me the money that I can go buy the car with. Allow me to save up that I may go buy the car with. But don't ask him to send a man out and park a new car right in front of your house and say, here it is. But if he'll stick closer to you than a brother, that means that upon my talking to him, and I may as well tell you, he may not answer you when you first ask him. He may not answer you when you first ask him. But upon talking to the Lord, I may have to go back to him, and because he doesn't answer me, does that mean I quit asking? No, it doesn't. That means I just need to go back. And sometimes the Lord's answer might be, just wait for a little while. You don't need that right now. And then he might say, well, yes, I'll do that for you, and provide it for you, how he'll say yes. And then he may say, no, you're not getting that. That would, you know, with some of us, if he give us some of the things we ask for, some of us wouldn't even come to church anymore. Some of us will ask for that new car, but we won't drive it to church if we get it. So we have to remember that God is good to us all the time, and that Jesus will stick closer to us than a brother, and we can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. We can cast all of our problems upon him. And some of us, we're loaded down with them, aren't we, church? Oh, you don't have to say nothing. I know you are, because I am. I'm loaded down with them, and every time that I want to talk to Jesus, I remember that no matter how many problems I've got, somebody else has more problems than me. I remember that there's somebody out there who's worse off than I am. And all I have to do is, Lord, if you'll allow me to just bend your ear for a few moments, and then, Lord, if it be your will, if you can just answer this prayer, everything will be all right. And I know it's going to be all right anyway. But, Lord, if you'll make it all right with me, I'll be your servant, Lord. Isn't that how some of the Old Testament characters answered the Lord or prayed to the Lord? That if you allow me to have this child, I'll make sure he's in service to you for the rest of his days. But some of us just want to knock on God's door and say, Lord, I need this and I need that, and I'm not going to promise you I'm going to do anything about it. I'm not going to promise you I'm going to give you anything. But he'll stick to you closer than a brother. And if he'll stick closer than a brother, that's the kind of friend I need. And to these young folk that are out here today, not knowing Jesus, not knowing what a true friend is, because friends kill one another these days. They grew up together. They went to school together. But they kill one another. Why? Over something that makes no sense at all. And then they criticize people when people try to give ideas on how to deal with the situation. I heard them talking this morning, and they said that Chicago... I'm almost through. Don't worry about it. Somebody said this morning when they were talking to a police superintendent, he said that Chicago has the biggest gang population in the country. He said that even though we have more murders than cities like Los Angeles and New York, which are bigger than us, and there are some of you in here, I don't have to tell you about this. You deal with these numbers and these statistics on a daily basis. And if we have more gang members per capita, that means than anywhere else in the country, more than in New York and Los Angeles. And do you realize that you can set Chicago in Los Angeles four times? Chicago is 100 square miles. Los Angeles is 400 square miles. But yet, we got more. Now, that's a situation where more is not better. More is not less in this case. What we need is less, and then that'll be more. But when you think about it, somebody needs to sit down and tell these kids. Somebody needs to sit down and tell these kids that there is a friend who'll stick closer than a brother. There is a friend who can help you work out these issues that you have. You don't have to take it out on one another. Because every time that one kills one another, that's two families that are messed up. Two families. That's a future generation that's perhaps wiped out. That's too many lives to be over, too many lives to have been lost over something silly. And then when you listen to the explanation, it almost makes you laugh. But you know, we as the church folk, we can't continue to hide. We've got to lead the way. We've got to stop saying to our brothers that, like I told you earlier, we've got to stop saying I love you and then kick you in front of the bus. If you say you love, don't say it if you don't mean it, because I'm not looking to hear you eloquently sprout something to me. That's not what I'm looking for. I just need you to mean what you say and say what you mean. If you don't love me, don't say it, because I don't want to get my hopes built up. Because you know what? I love you anyway, whether you love me or not. Just like I tell you to pray for me, whether you pray for me or not, I'm going to still pray for you. But we've got to lead the way. We have hid our heads in the sand. We have hid ourselves. And it's not working. And I just thank God. I pray for the parents who are raising their young children today. I pray for my kids who have my grandchildren under their control right now. And I just pray that it's going to get worse before it gets better. I pray that my young grandsons, especially, it's not quite as bad for the young ladies, but my young grandsons, I just pray for them. Because I know what kind of world they're facing. And what I say to you this morning, church, is maybe you need to stick a little closer to your brother that I spoke of, that Proverbs speaks of in chapter 18 and verse 24. He'll stick close to you, but are you sticking to him? Maybe that's what we all need to do. Now, I've already told you how you become a member of the Lord's body, that you may stick close to Christ. But what about those of us who were members a long time ago and we've lost track or lost faith or lost hope? You need to ask God to forgive you, ask the church to pray for you, come forward and ask the church to pray for you, that you may regain your faith in God and that you may regain your walk with God. You have that opportunity right now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.